is widely taught today that this is a little town in southern Egypt of very slight importance. And they say, since it says that some will come from the north and from the west, then the other direction must be south. And so it must be this little town in southern Egypt, which town is represented in a different way, a similar but different name from this word sin here. The I-N is plural. But I believe it's quite easy to show that that is a rather ridiculous suggestion. We should either say we don't know what it means, or recognize that it means China. Now, of course, that's not the way the Chinese speak of China, is by this name, sin. But it is a way that China is spoken of outside of China. And it is, as I said, the word China, commonly used today, means a dollar of China. Well, now that's not our big purpose today to argue about that verse, but if you take that verse in the sense which I believe is certainly the correct sense of it, it fits with the previous verse that the servant is the new and worldwide word. But verse 3 has a new idea we did not have in chapter 42 at all. The chapter shows that the servant must do a work for Israel as well as for other nations. Verses 5 to 6. Now said the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant to bring Jacob again to him. That's not the whole nation that's going to bring the nation again to him. That is clearly an individual who is to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not yet, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said it is a light thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles. He must do a work for Israel as well as for the other nations. So here we have clear evidence that the servant of the Lord is separate from Israel as a whole. I call this the individualization of the servant. The chapter in which that verse is about the servant, which might have been guessed from chapter 42, is now made clear. I might just take 1 second to refer to the fact that where it says in verse 4, though Israel be not gathered, the many translations, most of the recent translations will say, in order that Israel be gathered. And it's hard for anyone to believe who does not know the Hebrew language. But nevertheless, the fact that the difference between those two translations is one letter in Hebrew. A difference of one letter in Hebrew, and some manuscripts have one and some have the other. And whichever way you take it, it still is definitely thought that the servant has a responsibility towards Israel as well as towards the whole world. Now, number 4, thus the chapter distinguishes the servant from Israel. That just summarizes what we have already brought out. Number 5, the chapter shows that the servant, like Israel, must suffer humiliation. This is suggested in verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors. Not the nation. Here, the nation. What nation? The word nation is usually used as a Gentile. Usually used in the plural, but there are cases where it is used of Israel. So this main one who is going to be despised by a considerable portion of Israel. Certainly the suggestion is here that the servant must suffer humiliation like Israel does, and this thought is further developed in chapter 50, verses 4 to 11. Which we will not take time now to look at. There are some points there that would require consideration into detail, and that's not part of our real purpose for this semester, but it is good to have in your notes the references. Now, capital D, fulfillment of the servant's work. The servant's work has been pictured, the ideal, that which God says must be done, will be done in chapter 42. In chapter, it has been clearly brought out that Israel has responsibility for this. Israel has responsibility. Chapter 49 brings out that the one who accomplishes it can be distinguished from Israel as a whole. He has work to do for Israel as well as for the rest of the world. Israel also needs it. Now we get further detail about the servant's work with the assurance that it will be fulfilled. In chapter 52, verse 12 to 53, 52, 13 to 53, verse 12. Now that is one of the great chapters of the scripture. We should start at 52:13. It is the great chapter that gives the description of the work of Christ, that which is so important and is bringing light to the nation, that which is the very foundation of it, that which is the foundation upon which justice is to be brought to the whole world. That is described in this chapter, beginning in verse 13. Behold, my servant will deal prudently. The word there, the Hebrew word, which you cannot translate exactly into English. It means to act wisely. It also means to be successful. It usually means to be successful because you do that which will bring success. Now, I don't know of any one in this word that conveys those two ideas. And so is the Old Testament. Sometimes the scripture is translated one of those ways. Sometimes it's often translated, my people prosper. And it's also often translated, he will act wisely. The emphasis can be on one or other aspect, but both aspects are always involved. And this shows what the servant is going to accomplish. We do not have time to go into the details of it. In this class, it's outside the section we're really dealing with. I'm looking at the background for what follows. But the essential outstanding element in this chapter is vicarious atonement. And we find that already in verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Now the Old Testament tells how in the temple they must sprinkle blood or oil or water on the altars, on the furnishings, on the different elements in the temple. It is a purification usually produced as a result of sacrifice. Now, no modernist can understand how this can make any sense whatever in Isaiah 52. So if you take up the Revised Standard Version, you will find that it says, so shall he startle the nations. And there is a footnote which says, Hebrew obscure. Well, there's nothing obscure about the Hebrew. It is a word which occurs either 22 or 23 times in the Old Testament. In every case except this and one other, the Revised Standard Version translates to sprinkle in at least 20 cases. And in the one case, aside from this, where the Revised Standard Version does not translate to sprinkle, it translates to spatter, which is really the same thing. And so, in, say, 22 out of 23 cases, they translate meaning sprinkle or spatter, and in this one, they say Hebrew obscure. It's obscure because they do not believe in expiatory sacrifice. And they can't understand the verse, but you know, Peter could. Peter had no difficulty with the verse. If you look at 1 Peter, verse, the beginning of it, you'll find that Peter writes to many nations. Peter says in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He writes to many nations. And what does he say about these many nations? He says they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter certainly never would have said such a thing if he did not have this verse in mind. He is saying, here is the fulfillment of what Isaiah predicted. That through the servant of the Lord, many nations will be sprinkled. Well, that is what the modern church cannot believe in. Vicarious atonement, and so they want to get rid of this verse, but they can't get rid of it in chapter 53. Because in verse 5, it is expressed four times. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Four times, vicarious atonement expressed in that one verse. It is again in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is expressed again in verse 10, where it says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his head. It is expressed in verse 11, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity, and it is expressed again in verse 12. And so the fulfillment of the servant's work, which is brought out so clearly in these verses, has a great stress on the vicarious atonement, which is the foundation by means of which lightning is brought to all the nations, and by means of which the foundation will be laid, that eventually he will establish justice throughout the earth. Now this word servant is never again used in the singular in Isaiah. Not once more in the remaining over 10 chapters of the book is the word servant that is used. But the word servant is used. The word servant is used twice in the next couple of chapters, and then toward the end of the book it is used quite a number of times. And it seems a reasonable interpretation that the servant means those who are the followers of the servant, those who are the recipients of his work, those who are saved through what he did on the cross, and those who are his representatives in carrying that message. They are the servants of the Lord. And so in the next chapter, in chapter 54, he says in the end of the last verse, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. They are righteous not because they work hard to try to do good works, but because God imputes righteousness to them because of what Jesus does on the cross. And then in chapter 55, we have as wonderful a gospel call as is anywhere in the scripture. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the water, and he that hath no money, come, buy and eat, without money and without price. You go on through chapter 55, and it is stressing that which will come to David's greater son, the marvelous blessing, which has simply to be taken by faith. They don't have to be paid for, because Christ has paid it all for them. And this section of the book of Isaiah continues with chapter 56, verses 4 to 8, show the word going out to all the world, so that as verse 7 says, he will bring them to his house of prayer, and my house shall be called a house of prayer to all people. And verse 8 ends that major section of the book, and the section we're not going to deal with starts with verse 9. And I've already had to divide that into a section of blessing and of rebuke. We had no such section to speak of in the section just before, which is the great teaching about the service. But now it becomes more like the first part we were doing, and we go on from there.